This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 532, recorded on January 16th, 2018. My name is Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And traveling along those intersections with me each and every week, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I'm good. Driving down the technology highway, and all is well.
Information superhighway, they used to call it. So it's filled with a lot of intersections we've found. That's kind of what makes up our show in each and every week. But we've done something a little bit, maybe we've done this before, but we're focusing on one topic for an entire month. And we've done some interesting things like security and what else have we done? Meeting management and... what did
video?
We just emerge from video, all kinds of good stuff. So what are we talking about this month?
Well, this month's focus is all about sharpening your skills. And we kicked that off last week with just some personal learning network kind of things. There's so many ways to learn things via the internet these days. And we kind of highlighted some of those. This week, we're shifting gears. We're talking about sharpening your Bible knowledge. And who doesn't need to learn more and want to learn more about God's Word? Interestingly, as we prepared for the show, one of my daily prayers that comes from, I want to say Pastor Mark Gabb, who serves down in Florida, and the verse that he based his prayer on one day this past week was Colossians 2:6-8. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives for him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And that just really tied right in with, I think, our focus that we definitely, as Christians, want to be rooted and built up in Christ and continually strengthening our faith through the Word.
And see that. We found some words to live by in the Bible, Colossians 2:6-8. So you mentioned sharpening our Bible knowledge or sharpening our Bible skills. The great news about that is there are just a ton of technology tools at our disposal to help us do that. And a lot of different avenues you could go. Maybe the best place to start would be the Bible itself. And those are probably some of the first tools out there. Just the ability to look up a verse, to search a verse, to do some note-taking, bookmarking, sharing, linking, those kinds of things. And my favorite, and the one that I've been using for a long time, from the Life Church people, is YouVersion, YouVersion.com. We use it, I use it daily, and I think one of the things I like about it is its simplicity. It's nicely designed, it's intuitive, it's easy to use. You have multiple translations. One of the things, I don't use it a lot right now, but I go in streaks where they have a nice NIV audio option where you can go to a verse and have it narrated for you. A couple years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, my wife and I participated in our church's Through the Bible in 1 Year challenge. And so we took the opportunity, especially going through some of the tougher Old Testament chapters with a lot of the biblical names, to have somebody read it to us. And that's kind of a nice feature that's available in YouVersion with the NIV version.
Yep, and you mentioned technology tools, Martin. You can go to the YouVersion Bible in any web browser at Bible.com, and you'll be able to click the Read button, which is in the upper left area, and bring up the Bible, and as you mentioned, several versions available to select from, and the reading option. It also has a parallel Bible option, so you can look at two versions side by side, and one of my favorite features is just making it full screen. And I want to say it's this one. Nope. I take it back. I don't know how to do that. Maybe I have to be signed in for that option to come up for me. Right. But nice to be able to do it in your web browser, but they also have a mobile app, and that's probably what I'm more familiar with. I have the mobile app on my phone. That's my Bible in Bible class on Sunday morning, whatever. I was really surprised, though, when I went to Bible.com/app to find that they have not just iOS and Android, but they have BlackBerry versions, Windows Phone versions, Java, Kindle Fire versions, mobile web, all of it linked to there on their app page. So I think they have something for just about any type of device, no matter what you have. So definitely check them out and enjoy the features that are part of the Live Church offering there with YouVersion.
And one feature I forgot to talk about, which we have featured on the show before, is the ability to share verses embedded or overlaid on an image. Mm-hmm. Great for posting to social networks and those kinds of things. So just a kind of a beautiful way to share verses that have touched you and you want to share with other people. So, but YouVersion is not the only kid on the block. A lot of our pastors are already familiar with Lugus. They also make a Bible app or an online Bible as well, along with their other Bible study tools. So that is definitely an option as well. And it gives you more, if you have an account, it gives you more Bible study options. So clearly you've got the ability to dig deeper than YouVersion might allow you, but there's different packages that are available depending on your Bible study needs that come along with Lugus.
Yep. And I know for many pastors who've built up a library, of books that they use in their desktop software, it's really neat to be able to tap into that on their mobile device. So Lugus has done a really good job of connecting your library. That's pretty powerful to have that kind of library in your pocket on your mobile device.
And they have a lot of the same features, especially the note-taking side, just the ability to be to be a bit more of a Bible scholar. They really support that and do a nice job of that. They're kind of the big kid on the block when it comes to that kind of stuff. So Lugus from the Faith Life people.
And one more player, and there are many different Bible apps out there, and really it comes down to personal preference, but one more that I kind of started with, and I always go to it, especially when I'm looking on the web, is BibleGateway.com. And I'm excited to say that Bible Gateway has the Evangelical Heritage Version, what's been published so far, the New Testament and Psalms, already showing up and able to be searched and used in BibleGateway.com. So that's pretty powerful. For those that aren't familiar, the new EHV came out in publication format this summer. Like I said, just the New Testament and Psalms so far. I think they've finished the Old Testament, but it's not yet been published. They're still doing, editing and things like that. But EHV is done by a group of Wells and ELS pastors. And I'm excited, Martin, because I want to say his name is, I had it on my tip of my tongue. The pastor who was the editor of the New Testament, I want to say it's Brian Keller, but I don't know if that's exactly right. He's going to be at our church this Sunday. So I'm excited to hear a little bit of the background of the Wartburg Project, the group of men that came together to translate the Bible from Wells and ELS, and what their resulting product, the Evangelical Heritage Version.
Very nice. Yep. Mm-hmm. I haven't done much reading in it yet. I'm looking forward to that. I do have a copy, but I'm looking forward to getting that out there and comparing it to the new NIV as well.
I think Kevin and I are about halfway done. This has been our daily reading, a few chapters every night, and I'm really enjoying it. And it's interesting with Kevin's background in translation and everything, he's able to give me a little more idea of some of the nuances that they've brought into the translation that sound a little different, but I wasn't quite sure of why or what the change was. And it's been a fun read for us. We've enjoyed it greatly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you can get a copy of that if you go to MPH's website. We should probably put a link to that, or maybe we already have a link here in the show notes, but get a link to that. So
definitely
to get the paper copy. All right, we would probably be remiss if we didn't mention the Wells mobile app. We call it Wells Mobile. And you can go to m.wells.net to find links to it. But the easiest way is just to go to your app store and just search for Wells Mobile. It'll be one of the first listings there, of course. And it has a number of things that might help you in your Bible sharpening skills. It has a daily devotion that is available through my Bible reading. It has a verse of the day. It has worship helps, ability to share verses. One of the things that I did a couple years ago was try to commit to a discipline of memorizing the verse of the day. So memorize the verse and the reference just to kind of build up my Bible knowledge. So it offers that opportunity. So there's a lot of other stuff in Wells Mobile, and it's undergoing a rewrite right now to hopefully offer some things like notifications. So when there's a new devotion or a new verse or something else going on, or the ability to favorite things so that you can save your favorite verses or even take notes. So we're looking forward to rolling that out here, hopefully in 2018.
Yeah. Good that we're doing this review, because I did a little digging into NPH's Meditations. Many are familiar with Meditations, the booklet that's been available in print format for a long time. And now they have a Meditations app. It's only for iOS, as far as I can tell, but you can get the Meditations app and have those daily devotions along with prayers and the ability to share links to things and things like that. It is a subscription based, so you can get a 1 month subscription for $2 or $1.99, a full year for $12.99. So if you're interested, check out the show notes for the link to the Meditations Daily Devotional app from NPH.
And it has reminders and those kinds of things. It's nicely done. It's a nice addition to your home screen. So very affordable as well.
We have been talking recently about Interactive Faith, Martin. That's a Wells group Bible study where you gather together with one or more people to watch a real-time Bible study being led by a pastor. This time we are doing a Bible study on Isaiah, and it's being led by missionary Daniel Hobbin, who's down in St. John, Antigua. And Isaiah, God confronts and comforts his people. And that kicked off last Wednesday and is running through, I want to say, February 7th. And what you do is on Wednesday, you gather around your computer screen with one or more people and tune in at either 6 or 8 p.m. Central Time. And the Bible study is live streamed. The leader's there on the screen. He walks you through the Bible study. There are often handouts that you can download and follow along. And then he pauses at times for people to work through some of the questions and things associated with the Bible study. And you can do that in a group setting, you know, discussing it with those that you're meeting with. And you also have the ability to chat with the Bible study presenter. So a really neat way to do online Bible study with a real-time group of people. Neat experience, I'm sure.
Yep. One really nice benefit of social media and social networks like Facebook is the ability to gather people around different topics. And Bible study is one of the most worthy topics that you could gather around. So our friends at the Holy Hen House have an online Bible study that they normally promote on Facebook, right?
That's right. For those that aren't familiar, Holy Hen House is a blog done by Wells and ELS women, specifically for women and their walk, their spiritual walk day to day. And this online Bible study group, I think it has over 800 members, kind of gets active at different times of the year. It's not constant, but you'll get notifications in your Facebook stream when they're kicking off a new topic or whatever. Most recently during November leading up to Thanksgiving, they did a Grateful to God challenge and then asked people to post things that they were grateful for. So just different ways to connect around the word, and you can use the link that we'll put in the show notes to head over and ask to join the group and be ready for the next time they kick off a Bible study discussion.
All right. Where do we go from here? One suggestion that came to our minds as we were putting together some of the notes for and thinking through this topic is one way to continue that sharpening is to make it a part of just regular meetings. We have a lot of meetings at church, at school, a lot of opportunities to get together with other Christians. Why not, even if it's only just a brief thing, have a piece where you're doing a little bit of a Bible study or looking at a verse together or mm-hmm. doing something that, gets you a little bit deeper into the Word. I think sometimes we are so eager to get to the business that we forget about why we're doing the business and why we, where that strength needs to come from. So it's well worth spending some time, and maybe you can share that responsibility with other people in the meeting that, hey, it's your turn to think about a verse, share a verse. It can be just simple. I like this verse because kind of a thing, and generate a little bit of a discussion and get people on the right page, same page, and in the right frame of mind going into your meeting. So make that part of your team meetings.
That's a great idea. We do that on the Treasure House Board of Directors. That's been one of the blessings. And, it's not always easy to be in some meetings. You deal with difficult topics and things, but if you frame everything at the beginning with God's word, it sure does cast a different light on the work ahead of you and put you all on that same playing field as redeemed children of God. And that's a true blessing to be reminded of that.
Another way that I think you can use technology to sharpen those Bible skills is pick up one of the great journaling tools that are out there. We've talked about some of these off and on over the years, but Day One makes an outstanding iOS app, and they just released an Android app, which is awesome. It's not meant necessarily for journaling through the Bible, but it's a general purpose journaling tool. But you've got it on your phone, your iPad. It's available on a computer as well, where you can jot notes down about your own readings, your own experiences, prayer lists, those kinds of things. And you don't necessarily need to use a journaling tool like Day One, but you could use a blog or any blogging engine, WordPress, whatever, or the stories tools that are available on things like Instagram or Medium. Those kinds of things are all available to you just to kind of write it down, write your thoughts down and just pause. Rather than just kind of absorbing it, take one more active step with it and jot some notes down, put some bullet points or some general thoughts and just think about it a little bit.
Finally, just that concept of iron sharpening iron, one way to be uplifted and more motivated to be in God's word and more and reminded of it more often is to follow people on social media who share God's word. And if I had to stop and think of my favorite ones to follow, Time of Grace Ministry would come right to the top. They have an excellent Instagram account where they're constantly sharing beautiful verse images and giving you something to think about there. They also have a very robust Pinterest page where they've pinned on a lot of different topics. So maybe you're just looking for some resources, perhaps even for Valentine's Day. And they have so many pins out there just specific to Valentine's Day, which is coming up, and focusing on God's love for us and ways to show that using verse images and all kinds of things like that. So just one example of the great social media content that Time of Grace Ministry is producing on their accounts. So if you're looking for someone to follow, those are a couple of neat accounts to follow from Instagram and Pinterest.
Awesome. Well, we took it a step further in our topic this week, where we found somebody out there, and it was not hard to find because we were really delightfully happy to have a conversation with Pastor Brock Groth, who's a pastor out in Citrus Heights in California at St. Mark's out there. And he did something I maybe call it unique. He basically started to write a book about basic doctrinal truths, Christian teachings, and then took it to the next step and added a little bit of technology and basically made a website out of his findings, and he's continuing to update it. He calls it Understand Christianity. So it's at understandchristianity.com. So we decided, well, it would be awesome to have a quick conversation with Brock and talk to him about how this all came about, how he has had his own personal faith enhanced through this process, but the ability to share this with people all over the world. And it's a continual learning experience for him, and he took great advantage of technology and built this website around a very important topic, and hopefully many people are being blessed through it. So let's take a moment and listen to our interview with Pastor Brock Groth of St. Mark's in Citrus Heights, California, understandchristianity.com.
Joining us today on Wells Tech is Pastor Brock Groth, who serves out at St. Mark's in Citrus Heights, California. I'm guessing it's a little warmer there than it is here in Minnesota today. Happy to have you joining us, Pastor, and maybe you can get things started by just telling us a little bit about yourself, where you serve, and other things that make you tick.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Serving out here in Citrus Heights, California, like you said, a little bit warmer than over in the Midwest. I'm from Minnesota, so I know how it goes out there. I'm a little ashamed of myself. It's like 50 degrees here.
Wow.
And a little rainy lately, and I've been cold.
Got the jacket on, yes.
Yeah, serving out here at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights. Been here about since last June, the end of last June. Mm-hmm. Been here about 6-7 months now, loving it. God's blessing, a lot of things going on here.
Awesome.
Do you have particular areas of responsibility within the congregation?
Sort of focused right now on outreach and child discipleship. We have a school of about 100 kids, so a lot mixed in with both of those together. So those are kind of that's my focus.
Very good. Well, our discussion topic of the week, or really the month, is sharpening our skills, and specifically this week on our Bible skills. And we were kind of excited to find a website that you are intimately involved with called understandchristianity.com. Tell us a little bit about the background of the site, where the idea came from for the site, and maybe some history.
Yeah, you bet. It all kind of started as a book idea. Actually, my wife and I were serving out in East Asia, and we were out there for about 10 months. So when you explain Christianity to people out there, you got to do it simply, and then in simple English as well. So it just kind of, you know, lights a fire under you a little bit. And I just realized as I was explaining it to people out there that there are a lot of people here that needed the same kind of explanations. So kind of wrote a little bit of what I thought was going to be a small little book. Eventually, I wasn't sure what to do with it, so I asked my wife, what should I do with this? And she goes, well, why don't you make it into a website? So sure enough, it did, and it kind of morphed from there, and a lot of stuff has been added since then, but that's kind of how it got started.
So what kind of things are on the site?
Well, the way that it all started was with teaching explanations. So Christian teachings are explained. That we've got basics, and then also kind of a beyond the basics section. There's 7 basic teachings that are explained, and then I think there's 14 right now beyond the basics that are explained. There's also a Bible section that'll give you an introduction to each book of the Bible. For some of them, there are some Bible notes for different chapters within the Bible, and that's being filled out eventually. There's a church lingo section, where it kind of explains church words that people might hear that might not have any idea what they mean, like you think justification, righteousness, words like that. There's timelines, a number of different timelines for Bible things, a lot of some church things as well. There's a Bible bios section where it gives you an overview of the major players in Scripture and who they are and you know, if they're related, things like that. And then there's also frequently asked questions section or places to submit questions. But in a nutshell, that's what's offered on the website.
Awesome. Get off of the screen sharing. There's a lot to see there. You've put a lot of work into it. tell us, is it just you? Is this all you're writing, or do you have other people involved in the efforts on the site?
I'm the primary author, but there have been a number of contributions from people. A lot of the Old Testament Bible introductions are just straight taken from seminary notes used with permission by some professors and kind of adapted for the website. The New Testament stuff, there's a lot of that reflects seminary notes. And, you know, I just was sitting there in seminary class, like, you know, I have this information.
Treasure chest, yeah.
It'd be great to, you know, share that with people and make that available. So the site was just kind of a conduit, kind of a let me do that a little bit.
That's great. And
then some classmates of mine, when we were, I think it was vicar year, we wrote a few different commentaries on different chapters of the Bible. And the goal was to continue going with that, but we all got busy. But there's some of that on there as well, really well written by those guys. So there's some good material, yeah, definitely from other people as well.
Let's talk, before we get to who the site visitors are and what the reaction has been, what went through your mind as you were kind of beginning to develop this? Had you developed a website before, and what was the thinking process as to what tools you wanted to use, and did you have any issues with that?
No, it just kind of morphed. You kind of learn as you go. I didn't know anything about coding when I got started, but the more you do and the more you want to customize, the more you learn on your own. You know, I had some help from friends here or there, or congregation members who have had some experience with those things, so I bounced some questions off of them. But yeah, just kind of morphed from there. There was nothing that was necessarily looked at, this is my plan going forward. It's just kind of become what it's become.
Very nice. Oh, go ahead, Sally.
Nope, you go. I'm fine.
Talk to us then a little bit about the reaction that you've gotten, the traffic that you see, and who the typical site visitor is. Who's this serving at this point?
Pretty neat when you look at the stats. You know, if you look at Google Analytics or something like that, you get basically every age group represented quite well. It's pretty evenly distributed. But one neat thing is that I'd say maybe 60% of the site visitors are between the age of 18 and 44, according to Google. So there's a lot of people in that age group that really want to know this stuff. So it's been neat to be able to serve them with that. Otherwise, we hit every continent, which is pretty neat, except for Antarctica. I think we still got some work to do there. But
okay.
It's been neat to see, and you see questions coming in from all over the world too, which is people all over the world want to know this stuff. And so the internet's a great way to do that.
So what kind of questions are you seeing, and what kind of volume do you get through the Q&A piece?
Well, you get, it's hard to say you get this type of question. You kind of get pretty much everything that you can imagine.
Across the board, huh?
But a lot of great questions about, I mean, you know, a lot of things that we don't understand either as Christians, you know, Trinity, how does baptism give the forgiveness of sins, you know, things that we just kind of take as part of God's word and trust in him. So, you know, a lot of things like that.
Very good. Anything stand out as really popular content that you see a lot of site traffic hitting on?
Yeah, absolutely. Timelines, actually a big part. I wasn't expecting that when I started them, but a timeline seems to be big. People are, you know, Google searching all the time for, you know, Old Testament books, when they were written, you know, or something like that, the timeline of salvation history, and we get a lot of hits for that. And shockingly enough, the main teaching that gets hit the most, that's explained, is creation. People just have a lot of questions about this stuff, so that's what Google keeps filtering them through.
I think you kind of intimated this, but any opportunities for gospel sharing as a result? I'm assuming that the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Hopefully they eventually get from timelines to teachings, and then there's, you know, plenty of gospel in the teachings, hopefully. But yeah, there's hopefully that at least they go to the main page and kind of see the teachings, explanations really focused on. That's the whole goal.
So the point really is, the point
is so worth it.
So the point is more of a global ministry, because you're really not referencing where you're serving and, you know, activities that are going on at St. Mark. It's truly a, you know, whoever wants to come, wherever you come from, you know, let's have a conversation.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just there as a resource. That's the whole idea behind it. It's a resource for anyone out there who wants to know, what is Christianity? What is this book of the Bible? Who is this person in the Bible? Things like that.
Excellent. So what's next? Are you still actively developing the site and fleshing out things on the site, or do you have plans for new areas or anything like that?
Lots of plans. Got a lot of stuff on the list, yeah. The idea essentially is to fill in more content as it goes forward. Okay. More timelines. I'm this close to rolling out a timeline on Jesus's ministry. That one's been a little time consuming, and you know, whenever you get time, you add stuff to it. But almost done. It's really fascinating to look, and I've looked at it myself as I've been developing it. But if I'm preaching on the Gospels, like, okay, where was Jesus now in his ministry? What had he done? What has he done there previously, and around that area? So it's kind of neat. I use my website as a tool all the time.
That's great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, so more timelines, possibility of a blog, like facing different questions that Christians can get maybe, and how to answer those, or non-Christians questions they have about Christianity. But lots in the hopper.
Interesting.
Excellent.
How much time do you spend on average?
Per week? Well, not so much since I've been here at St. Mark's. If I'm a day off, if I can sneak into my office and work on something for a couple hours, sometimes I'll do that.
Okay. Sure.
And before we let you go, I got to ask you about the domain name. How did you get Understand Christianity? That seems like that might be a pretty popular one.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Was going for understandingchristianity.com, wasn't available. So I went with that, and sure enough, it was available and went with it. So awesome. It's a second choice, but it's worked out pretty well.
Well, it's three letters shorter. That's not all bad either. So.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know when you do produce that Jesus Ministries timeline. We'd be happy to announce that and point people to it when it's available on the site.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, hopefully soon.
Excellent.
Brock, thank you for taking the time with us. We appreciate it. We know that you've got busy ministry going on out there, and appreciate you sharing this with the world. It's an awesome ministry and something we can add to our prayer list. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your prayers.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our thanks to Pastor Groth for taking some time out of his schedule to share kind of the history of understandchristianity.com. Kind of a neat story that is not that hard to reproduce. There are a lot of people out there producing content that could easily take this shape.
So I had to do some digging on his timelines page, and there are a lot of them here, and very well done. I can understand why Google searches is turning these up. I really like this Genesis genealogical charts where he's looking at ages from Adam through Noah, how many years after creation, and then from Noah to Abraham's. And then he gets into some family trees, the family tree of Adam, for instance, and it's kind of an infographic format. And so there's some really cool stuff here. I definitely would encourage you to head over to Understand Christianity. That's just one of the timelines that Pastor Groth has available.
Taking great advantage of WordPress, a nice blogging platform that is very approachable, something that somebody who doesn't have a lot of technology experience, I wouldn't necessarily put Brock in that category, but you know, somebody thinking that I can't do this, you know, really you can. It's not that difficult. There's lots of training videos out there, and once you get the hang of it, really it's just kind of a repeatable process, and there's plugins that you can use, and it looks really nice, very professionally done, just a kind of a pleasant site to send people to, and mobile friendly as well, where WordPress has done a nice job with that recently.
Right. And win-win, because you sharpen your own skills as you're sharing this information. So
exactly. Yep. You learn best by teaching. And that's what he's doing. So awesome. Very good. So let's move on to the next. Again, thanks to Pastor Brock I always want to flip his name around. Pastor Brock Groth.
Yes.
For joining us. Thank you, Brock. Let's move on to Wells Now. And we already mentioned the interactive faith segment at the top of the show. Just a reminder that that's still going. That is an online Bible study. As Sally mentioned, it is Pastor Dan Hobbin from Antigua, and it's on the book of Isaiah. So coming up Wednesdays 6 and 8, Central Time. So gather around the computer screen and enjoy that Bible study.
Definitely. We also want to mention, remind people about our skills.wellstech.net, a brand new, spanking new site for 2018. And it's a place for you to share your skills and for those needing skilled technologists to find them amongst Wells and ELS members that have posted here. So really exciting, the turnout we've gotten so far, the people creating listings. We're hoping to add to it a lot more and also help people find it when they're looking for someone to help them with technology. Martin, I don't know if you caught this, but I believe the Christen Media Institute was giving us a little shout out just today and included the Wells Skills blog and their most recent reports and things. So happy to have them doing that.
I've not been on top of my email today. I've been tied down. So that's great. Thank you for doing that. That's neat. And I think the more people we can get into the database there, that would be a blessing to the Synod and those people looking for that assistance or looking to give that assistance. So,
definitely.
Sally, we've reached the time in the show where we take a pick from each of our collections that we found useful or that we think others might find useful. And what's your pick this week?
My pick this week is a recent announcement from our friends at Google. For the 10th straight year, they are offering a Doodle for Google contest, and it's open to students in grades K through 12. And what they're asking you to do is design a Doodle Google. I did that backwards, a Google Doodle that, that represents what inspires me. And they give you a little outline of the Google letters, but basically you're supposed to morph those Google letters into your design. And it can be any kind of medium, any kind of design, just the around the theme, what inspires me. They bring together winners from all over the country for a big event, I think typically in New York, and the overall winner gets their doodle on the Google homepage for a day, and they get a $30,000 college scholarship. How about that? So those aspiring artists out there especially will have some money behind their talent in order to go to college. Along with winning the college scholarship, you win a $50,000 technology package for your school. And so that's quite exciting as well. I had students participate in this in the past. I know our local high school art teacher has his students participate. Somebody's got to win it, and maybe this is the year for one of our Wells students to win it. The deadline for entries is March 2nd, so head on over to the website. It's doodles.google.com/D4G, and we'll have that link in the show notes.
Very nice. My pick of the week is also from Google, and I was kind of surprised to see this because it kind of appeared on the scene without a lot of fanfare. It's called Google Drive File Stream. I think the file stream is what they call it for short. The Drive File Stream is simply a replacement for their Docs syncing tool. So you all remember, if you use Google Docs, the ability to have a local copy of Google Drive sync down to your computer, and then it syncs up and back and forth and back and forth. One of the big limitations of that was with the new Team Drives, which are really useful, it didn't sync those. So you couldn't have a view of those on your desktop along with your other regular Google Drive files. And I don't know if that's what's behind this new service, which is essentially replacing Google Drive Sync, but this Drive File Stream essentially does the same thing. There are a couple of differences, and right now it's only available for Google Apps customers. So, and I think it's really only up for Google Apps for Education. I could be wrong about that, but I thought I read that. But basically, and I can demo it here, I've got it up here on my Mac, on the Mac, and it works very similarly on Windows. So you'll get a little icon in your tray, And I've got it hooked up to our Peace Hartford Google Apps account for education. And you have a little link here, and you can have multiples of these if you have multiple accounts. You have a little link that opens it up in the in Windows. It would be the Explorer. On Mac, it's the Finder. And you have your My Drive, but then you also have Team Drives available to you. Which is kind of nice. And it appears just as if it were part of your file system. The only difference is you can choose what stays online and what comes offline so that you don't have to have everything locally stored, but you can see everything, which is a little bit different than what the way Google Drive, the old Google Drive Sync worked as well. So you can see here, if you're following along at home, the Google Docs files have a GDoc extension. And if you double click on those, you can open them up on the web, and they have a little cloud next to them. But you can also take some of these offline, and you just right click, go to the Drive file stream listing in the dropdown. And by default, it's online only, but you can click available offline. It'll take it down to your computer, and then changes that you make in the offline setting will be uploaded and could be shared with other users of that Team Drive. So I think that's a nice improvement, and Team Drives are really the way to go if you're doing any file sharing. So there's no reason not to. And then you can also have an icon on your desktop that does exactly the same thing. You can create folders. You can see what's in them. You can move files around. You can create new files, delete files, do all kind of file management. And all the time not necessarily having to download the entire Google Drive to your desktop. So kind of a nice addition. I think they've done this well. Again, only I think available for Google Apps for education users at this point, but I know we have a lot of listeners who do that. So you have an opportunity to kind of replace it. They have not forced you to replace the existing Google Drive Sync app, but they've encouraged you to do that, and we'll include a link in the show notes as to how to do that. It's actually very easy to do. You just click a link, and it'll see whether you're a Google Apps for Education customer. If not, it won't even give you the appropriate link. So kind of a nice little addition. Simple, understated, but kind of a behind-the-scenes thing, but I think a nice improvement for those who are using Google Drive, especially those who really want to take advantage of the team files.
You know, Martin, I don't think I could do my job without cloud-based storage. You know, it's just a different world than when we started this podcast just 10 years ago, I think. And we really have shifted our work to the cloud, and the days of local storage and file servers and things like that are rapidly decreasing. So I think it's good. I think, you know, obviously we need to do this kind of thing with these trusted people like Google or Microsoft so that we know our data is secure and things like that.
Yep. A nice benefit for a lot of different reasons. So we talked about that this past summer with a couple of ministry resource blog posts about it. So, all right, now I need to find my OneNote, speaking of cloud-based services, to see where we're going next. Ministry resource. And I think I'm up for a ministry resource. I wanted to share something from our friends at Concordia Technologies. They have released the 2018 version of Shepherd Staff. And this is the client server-based application. It doesn't have to be server-based. It can just be on your PC. This is not their cloud-based version. So they're continuing to maintain this, continuing to add features, and I know a lot of our churches use this. A couple of things that have been asked for quite a while that they've added, one of them is the ability to back up. It was kind of a kludgy way they did their backups, where you picked a local drive and you had to back that up. And now they offer secure backups. It says supported customers can send a backup of their database to Concordia Technology Solutions, so they can maintain it offsite, which is really how you ought to do backup. So they're helping you do that. There are some changes that they've made in this newest version to their membership module. The activity skills training area has the ability to do mass updates now. It's been completely redesigned. One feature that I think was oft requested as well is the ability to combine info for two people. So you've got two people maybe duplicated, and now they have the ability to combine them. So lots of different additions that they've made. They've done a lot of work with subgroups, which are really one of the most powerful features of the tool. And so I think that's something that Shepherd staff users will want to upgrade to. You have to be a subscriber. You have to subscribe to their support contract, which runs about $450, I want to say, per year. But it gives you access to these updates and kind of a nice thing to take advantage of. And I would definitely advise paying that just for the updates and then ultimately the support that, that goes along with it. So very solid tool, and I would highly recommend it if you are in the market for a church management software solution, either that or their online version, which is not quite as full featured, but you do get the advantage of a web-based version as well. So,
got some good stuff going on there. That's
our
great
ministry
to hear.
Resource mm-hmm. of the week. Sally, let's move to community feedback, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention a couple of things I found over on Google Plus. People still use that as a social network, especially our Wells Office 365 schools, as well as our Wells Google schools. They're very busy groups over there. So if you aren't part of that, and we can have links in the show notes for you to join. On Office 365, Perry Lund featured an article which announced Microsoft Android apps for Office are now available. So you can do Microsoft Office on Chromebooks. I think that we may have mentioned this one time before, Martin. I'm not sure, but it's definitely worth a repeat.
Right. Good news.
So, yeah, definitely. And then from the Wells Google Schools, Professor Rachel Feld, one of our often co-host friends and semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, I guess is the official title. She's yeah. over at MLC, and she mentioned that she recently purchased the Teacher's Guide to Tech, which is a $25, I believe, ebook. And in it, she said it's a great resource for a school. There are 218 tools in it divided by category. Each tool has a link, a decent-sized summary of features, a picture or a video, and other pertinent information. I've heard of a good number of the tools, but having them organized like this with the summary is very amazing, she says. So good endorsement for an affordable book that might give you some more help with using technology in the classroom. Okay. Next up, we had some email from Sarah Krause. Sarah is actually a coworker at the Center for Mission Ministry. She works in the Lutheran Schools office. And she was listening to last week's podcast, I think, Martin, where you talked about Pocket Cast right. as your go-to podcast player. Her husband has an alternate for us. He's used player.fm. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot of similar features and what and something that he recommends. So if you're looking for an alternative to Pocket Cast or just the regular podcast apps on your phone, maybe you want to check out player.fm.
Yep, brand fairly new, and I think they're still rolling it out to all platforms, but looks nice. The design looks nice. I have not tried it yet, but I just looked at their website, and looks very promising. So thanks for sharing that, Sarah's husband. She mentioned his name, did she? I don't know his name.
I don't think so.
But give him due credit.
Yeah, Sarah is a communicator at heart, and one of her responsibilities in the Lutheran Schools office is to communicate through the e-news that comes out of the Lutheran Schools office. And she shared with us some e-news she found that might be appropriate for Wells Techers to take a look at. In particular, the St. Lucas Lutheran School robotics team went to their first scrimmage robotics competition, and they have a great write-up on their Facebook page, and you can get to it without even having a Facebook account. So if you're not into Facebook, that's just fine. But I love the pictures they included of their teams at work in this robotics competition. Shout out to, I want to say, Riverview Lutheran, which is in the Appleton area, where they had this Saturday scrimmage for these teams to prepare. It's a new type of robotics competition. It's not based on Lego's first robotics competition. It's something called, I had it open and I forgot. I'm sorry. I'll have links in the show notes, because it's not Lego first robotics that they use. It's a different strand of competition, but you can see in the pictures kind of their battlefield, where the robots had to pick up disc and place them on pegs and things like that. And their description of the contest is really interesting, because teams get paired up to work together, and whatever they score in a combined effort goes along with each team, and then they get with different pairings. And the two teams from St. Lucas managed to tie for third place. So kudos to them for a great start to their robotics season. And you can just see in the kids' faces how excited they were about it and what a fun day it was. They shared some stories about, you know, working with the other teams and helping them out at different times. It's a very win-win kind of thing for all the kids that are competing. So
very nice.
Good stuff. And there was another one I should mention real quick, a quick shout out to Grace Lego team in Glendale, Arizona. They were part of the Arizona State Championship for First Robotics League. And so I did do a little digging and found the championship listed. This is kind of the beginning of their season as well. It is all over the world, these people that are in this first Lego League, and looks like a lot of fun. There's a video on their Facebook page with the competition they participated in.
Very nice. Thanks, Sarah, for sharing. Really appreciate that. That really adds a nice touch to the show when people share, and we would encourage our listeners to do that early and often. To go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you can find all the ways to do that via email or social networks, or leave us a voicemail right there on the page. So lots of different options to get involved. So the video of the week, Sally, is something that you witnessed firsthand but have the ability to share through the wonders of live stream.
That's right. It actually harkens back to our discussion topic for today about sharpening your Bible skills. And I immediately thought of a really great sermon I heard from District President Charles Degner here in the Minnesota District. This was on the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation in our district celebration. And he preached on the text 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. So we'll have a link to the live stream of that service. You'll want to tune in around the 1 hour and 2 minute mark in the service. And that's about at the point where Pastor Degner's service starts. And so sermon starts, I should say. And his whole thing was, if God's word is our great heritage, we need to read it often and treasure it. And it was just a great sermon. I was very excited to come home and read my Bible after hearing Pastor Degner speak, and I think you will be too. So check out the sermon.
A lot of build up to that sermon, 1 hour and 2 minutes worth of service. Yeah. In there,
I think they started, 20 minutes before the service started, or whatever, with all the pre-service.
Lots of pre-service goodness there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there's choirs. There's all kinds of goodness in there. So
that was at the MLC Chapel then, right?
It was at the Chapel of the Christ. Yeah. Uh-huh.
If you haven't been Full there, house. that's a neat place to visit. I was up there Definitely. A couple months ago for my nephew's graduation, and always love worshiping in there. The acoustics mm-hmm. are wonderful, and just the experience is nice. That's lots of natural light, and they did a nice job with that. So mm-hmm. good enough reason to get up to New Ulm, Minnesota. If you don't know where that is, Google it.
I'd encourage you to wait till springtime. It's a little cold right now.
All right. We're going to continue next week with our Sharpen Your Skills Month. And what's our focus? I don't even remember here, Sally. Do we have a focus
yet? I think we're going to talk a little bit about staff development.
What's that?
Yeah. A little bit about staff development, because I know many That's in right. our churches and schools are probably responsible for not just your own personal development, but also staff development. You know, Martin, you're responsible for staff development yourself there at the CMM. So maybe we'll interview you about how you develop your staff skills.
Yes. People look for you. That's a way to bring them back. Nice tease. We're going to interview Martin. All right. Thanks, Sally. And thanks all of you for joining us. We really appreciate each and every visit you make to our little Wells Tech podcast, 532 episodes strong. And we'll be back next week, God willing, for 533. And we hope you join us. Thanks for joining us this week. Bye-bye.